Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
Three young trees grew up together in a field near Jerusalem. As they grew, they used to talk to one another about the great destiny that lay ahead for each of them. The first tree had beautiful wood with a fine grain and color. He dreamed of being made into a beautiful treasure chest. One day, when I've grown up, men will come and use my beautiful wood to make a treasure chest. I will be carved and have a beautiful jeweled latch with strong gold handles on the side, said the first tree. I'll be filled with treasure, and men will value me and admire me for my beauty. The second tree was very strong and tall and dreamed of becoming a mighty ship that sailed to foreign lands. One day, I'll be made into a mighty ship, the second tree boasted. I'll carry great men and cargo. I'll visit many different nations. I am strong and will safely sail through any storm. The third tree was neither strong nor beautiful. I don't know what I will be when I'm big, he said, but I'm sure God has a plan for me. I know I have a destiny. God will make something good for me, and men will never forget me. The three trees grew, and one day some strong men came to harvest the first tree. Yes, he shouted, now I'll be made into that beautiful treasure chest. But to his surprise, these men took the first tree to a carpenter shop and made him into a rough box for holding animal feed. He was thrown onto a farm where pigs and cows and chickens would come to feed, and they would eat from the feed kept in his box. Oh no, Tree One cried. I wanted to hold treasure, but all I'm holding is food for animals. He cried every day, thinking his destiny was lost. I was supposed to do great things, but here I am in the lowest position of all. The second tree also grew tall, and one day men came for him. He was excited when he learned they were going to make him into a boat, for he had dreamed of being a great ship. But instead of a great ship, the carpenters made him into a small, rough boat used for fishing. There were no big sails, no room for cargo and crew. There was barely enough space for a few men and fish. And every day, tree number two was taken out onto the lake and filled with stinking, smelly fish. I wanted to sail the world and see great places, tree number two sighed. I wanted to carry great men and fight great battles, but here I am, a lowly fishing boat. So tree number two and tree number one both thought their destiny had died. But the worst thing of all happened to tree number three. He was cut down one day and made into long, rough planks. Then he was left all alone in a carpentry shop, out of sight and unused. No one came for him. No one noticed him. No one used him. He was forgotten, abandoned, and alone. I thought God had a plan for me, he cried. I don't know why God has forgotten about me. I was destined for greatness, but here I lay useless and alone. All three trees had dreams of a great destiny, yet it seemed their dreams had died. But then one day, in ways they never expected, their dreams came true. For one cold winter's night, a young family came to the farm where tree number one served as an animal feed box. The wife was about to deliver, and having nowhere else to lay her child, the husband took tree number one and cleaned him out and laid a newborn baby boy named Jesus in his box. And tree number one became a treasure chest after all. Years later, tree number two was out on the lake bringing in fish when Jesus climbed aboard. Jesus taught the people and set them free with his truth. And that little fishing boat did indeed carry great men. And one day, years later, tree number three was pulled from obscurity. His planks were taken from the back of the carpentry shop. The carpenter hammered him into shape, the shape of a cross. And Jesus was nailed to that cross made from tree number three. And today, men sing about tree number three when they sing that old rugged cross. And they remember the role that tree number three played in our salvation. All three trees dreamed of greatness. All three trees thought their dreams had died. But God does not count greatness as men count greatness. And even though their destinies took time to develop, in the end, they all played a unique and special role in God's plan. There are powerful truths for all of us today in the fable of the three trees. Just like those three trees, every one of us has dreams. We all have destinies. But often our dreams get lost in the ordinary duties of our daily routine. Often the path to our destiny is not as plain as we thought it would be. And oftentimes our dreams slowly die when we lose sight of our destiny. So how can you fulfill your destiny? What are the keys to achieving your dreams? Well, the answers lie in our sermon today. We're going to discover God's unique destiny for our lives. And we're going to learn the secrets of how to fulfill his plan. But before we learn more, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you that you have destined us for greatness. For we are unique and special in your sight. You formed us, you fashioned us, and you've called us to fulfill a plan and a purpose. Today I ask that you will open the eyes of our understanding that we might see the keys, the requirements, the steps we should take to have a destiny that is achieved. I pray, Lord, that we will fulfill your plan and purpose and that we will take up our unique place in your plan. We submit to you now. We bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to enlighten our minds and give us truth and grace to obey your command so that we can fulfill our destiny. I thank you and I bless you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to join your faith with mine right now. Just put your hands on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. It's great to have you here with me as we continue our sermon series titled Masterpiece. God is doing something wonderful in us as we learn the truth about who we are in Christ. For the fact is, when you see yourself as God sees you, your life will never be the same. That's why before we go further into today's message, I want to encourage you to be sure to visit my YouTube channel and watch the previous messages in this sermon series. If you happen to miss any of the past messages, just go to my YouTube channel at Richard C. Whitcomb, Pastor Richard C. Whitcomb, and take some time to watch the earlier sermons. And if you've watched them already, I encourage you to listen to the sermons again. For the fact is, we need to continually put God's truth into our hearts so that we can do what he's called us to do. And that's the truth that leads us to today's sermon. You see, our scripture text for today makes one thing very plain. God has created us special so that we can do a special work for him. He's made us a special masterpiece so that we can fulfill a masterpiece destiny. Our scripture text for today is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's on your sermon notes and it's on your screen, but I believe God's word has the most impact when it's in our hearts and on our lips. So I invite you to read this verse out loud together with me. Let's read it with faith. Are you ready? Here we go. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Just lift up your hand today and say this after me. God has a purpose for my life. See, friends, our scripture text for today gives us three truths about how God sees you. First of all, it tells us that when God sees you, he sees a masterpiece. You were specially made, woven by the Almighty in your mother's womb. For Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." You were made special the first time when you were born, but that's not all. The second thing our text for today tells us is that when God sees you, he sees a new creation in Christ. For our text tells us that God has also created you anew in Christ Jesus. In other words, you've been made even more special the second time when you were born again. God made you naturally unique at birth, and he made you supernaturally unique at the second birth. But not only did God create you, he has a plan for you. When God sees you, he sees a person with a destiny. For our text says he planned you to do good things. And that's exactly what destiny is. Destiny simply means you have been planned for a purpose. He made you a unique masterpiece so that you could fulfill a unique destiny in this world. So today, let's discover the three requirements to fulfill your masterpiece destiny. And here's your first requirement. A masterpiece destiny requires masterpiece perspective. See, if you're going to fulfill your destiny, you have to see your destiny as God sees it. When you see your destiny as God sees it, then you will make destiny decisions. And that's exactly how our scripture text for today begins. It says, you are God's masterpiece so that you can fulfill God's plan. In other words, you are made special so you can fulfill a special purpose. And all throughout the Bible, this same truth is repeated over and over again. Listen to what the Word of God says is your destiny today. First of all, the Bible says God has destined you to be his child. For Ephesians 1:5 says, he predestined us to adoption as sons to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. So God's first and ultimate plan for all of us is that we would be his children. That's the basis and the foundation for all the other things God wants to do. But it doesn't end there. God doesn't just save you and then leave you. Saving you is just the first step into your destiny. Then we see the next great thing. God has destined us according to his plan. For Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 says, in him we were also chosen. So say, I'm chosen. Having been predestined, say, I'm destined. According to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And see, God's got a plan for you, and that plan for you is greater than what you expected. That plan for you is to be just like Jesus, for he's destined us to be like Christ. That's why Romans 8, 29 and 30 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And friend, that's no small thing. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is pure. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is everything we could ever want or need. And God has destined you to be just like Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you've got a long way to go. And when we become like Jesus, we're going to discover something else, that God has destined us to rule with him forever. For Revelation 22, 3 to 5 says, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and they will reign forever and ever. So think about what the scripture is telling us today. God has destined you to be his child. He's destined you to be like Jesus. And he's destined you to rule and reign with him in the ages to come. That's why I declare with faith, you are a masterpiece. There's treasure inside of you. There are seeds of greatness in you. You have a unique destiny. You are destined for the throne. So just say after me, I'm a masterpiece. I have a great destiny. And the really good news is God has enabled you and empowered you to fulfill your destiny. He gives us all spiritual gifts and places us where he wants us so that we are uniquely positioned to fulfill our destiny. That's why 1 Corinthians 12 verses 7 and 18 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. God has put each part just where he wants it. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. You're one of a kind. You have a unique destiny. Don't try to be someone else. You have your own gift and your own place in the body of Christ. And what matters in the kingdom of God is not the position you hold, but how well you hold your position. Don't confuse small with insignificant. You may be small in the world's eyes, but you're never insignificant. You may not have a big position and a big title, but you are never insignificant. For God has a destiny and a place for you. And when you play your part well, you can achieve what God has planned for you. That's the lesson we can learn from the inspirational true story of Ghana's own Amelia Amwateng. Amelia was a young mother of two living in Kebrebi when the Anglo-Gold Ashanti Mining Company began taking land and causing destruction in her homeland. Amelia single-handedly spearheaded a campaign to fight for the rights of her people. She led the community to demand just compensation for lands. She fought the pollutions of the rivers and farmlands brought about by Anglo-Gold Ashanti's mining practices. She drew international attention to the plight of her people and pushed for Anglo-Gold to be held responsible for their actions. Over and over, for more than 10 years, Amelia brought about tremendous change for her people. Amelia did not hold a university degree. When she began her campaign, she did not even have a secondary school education. She didn't come from a wealthy or an influential family. She was a single mother with two small children. She was even physically frail, suffering from severe asthma that eventually took her life. She was just one woman with one voice fighting against a huge multinational company that wields great power and wealth. But her one life made an impact that is still felt in Ghana today. And sometimes the greatest events in the world start with something small and hidden. Sometimes the events that change history and make great impact have small beginnings. A baby born in a manger in a barn in Bethlehem didn't seem very significant, but the life of Jesus changed the world forever. Like a seed planted in the ground, the end result of a mighty tree cannot be determined by the size of the seed. And to the world, you may only be one person, but to one person, you may be the world. That's why Jesus told us that God's standard for evaluating our lives is not the position we hold, but how well we hold our position. For in Matthew 25, 21, Jesus told us how the master would greet those that he rewards in the end. Listen carefully, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus said that at the end time judgment, God would reward people based on three things. They were good, they were faithful, and they were servants. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, great leader. Not well done, great prophet. Not well done, great manager. Not good CEO. In other words, God's approval on your life has nothing to do with the position you hold. God's approval comes on those who hold their position well. After all, Jesus was a carpenter's son. Peter was a fisherman. David was a shepherd boy. The prophet Amos was a herdsman. The prophet Elisha was a farmer. So do not limit yourself with a human label. You are a masterpiece, and you have a masterpiece destiny. Don't try to be someone else. Be the best you that you can be. And that brings us to our second truth today. A masterpiece destiny requires masterpiece preparation. See, the truth is, your unique destiny won't be achieved automatically. Destiny is like a seed that God has planted inside of you, but you have to cultivate that seed. You have to water it and tend to it and grow it and develop the seed of your destiny. And the greater your destiny, the greater your preparation will be. In order for God to use you, you have to pass through a refining process. You have to pass through a period of preparation. That's why our scripture text continues to show us the way to fulfill our destinies with these words. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So first, God wants you to possess a masterpiece perspective. You have to see who he has called you to be. But that's not all. Once you have his vision for your destiny, you have to then be prepared. You have to be made new in Christ Jesus. You have to be transformed and changed so that you can fulfill your masterpiece destiny. For the truth is, you can't achieve what God has for you to achieve with an old sinful way of life. You can't attain the heights that God has called you to with a bad attitude and bad character. You have to be changed. You have to be made new, and you have to let the new life God gives you in Christ become manifest in your everyday conduct. God has destined you to rule with him on the throne, but in order to achieve your destiny, you have to be prepared, and this life is the preparation time. God isn't going to just stick you on the throne without getting you ready. God isn't just planning for you to rule and reign with him forever without first investing in your life. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Our position now prepares us for our position in the ages to come. That's the truth we learn in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. Listen to God's word. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now think carefully about what this scripture is saying. It's saying that God has raised us up with Jesus. That refers to our water baptism. When we went under the water, we died with him. When we come up, we are raised with him. And he has seated us with him. That means right now, he's given us his authority here on earth so that in the ages to come, we will rule with him. Our being seated with Christ is now so that in the ages to come, we can continue to rule forever. Simply put, what God has done in your life so far is simply getting you ready for what he has for you in the future. God has saved you here in this life so you can fulfill your destiny. He's raised you here in this life and given you authority in the spiritual realms now in preparation for your destiny. When we were buried and raised with Christ in baptism, we are already legally on the throne. But in order to fulfill that destiny, we have to learn how to exercise our authority in Christ. We have to develop so that we can be ready for all that God has planned for us. And here's the truth that may not be pleasant, but is essential for us to know. The way God prepares us for our future role as rulers on the throne is through trials and tests on the earth. See, God's preparation ground here in this life is for us to face obstacles and difficulties and learn to overcome them. In other words, tests and trials in this life are our training ground. We find that principle of truth in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 3. Listen carefully. When one of you has a dispute, everybody say dispute. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. Do you hear what God is saying to you today? When problems arise in life, they arise to give us training for our future role as rulers and judge. When you have a dispute, it's to develop you. When you have difficulties, it's to discipline you. See, here's what you need to remember today. When you face problems, don't focus on the problem. Focus on your development. Don't let the little irritations of life overwhelm you because you're headed somewhere better. The world wants you to get stuck in some insignificant quarrel, but you don't have time for that. You're headed for the throne. Sir, you're headed for the throne. So settle that little quarrel with your wife and let it go. If you're going to judge nations, you better learn how to settle with your wife. Ma'am. You're destined for the throne. So stop whining and complaining about your husband and rise above. How are you going to judge angels when you can't even forgive your husband? The devil wants you to focus on how they treated you or what they said to you or how somebody offended you. But you don't have time for that because you're headed for the throne. See, I'm too blessed to mess with petty quarrels. I'm too blessed to worry about what you think of me or what you said to me or what somebody did to me. I don't have time for bitterness. I don't have time for comparing myself to somebody else. I don't have time to promote myself or worry about if I'm getting ahead of somebody else. I don't have time for that because I know where I'm going. I'm going somewhere better. I'm headed for the throne. Somebody say, I'm headed for the throne. One time, a young man named Peter was walking down the street just minding his own business. He wasn't doing anything to anybody. As he walked down the street, he passed a madman. This madman was wearing filthy rags and hadn't bathed in weeks. And when the madman saw Peter, there was something about Peter the madman didn't like. So the madman reached down, picked up a stone, and threw the stone at Peter. Well, Peter didn't like the fact that the madman picked up a stone and threw it at him. So Peter bent down to the ground, picked up a stone, and threw it back at the madman. Well, the madman got angry and he picked up another stone and threw it at Peter. And Peter picked up another stone and threw it at him. And so they were throwing stones back and forth. And suddenly someone drove past and said, "Look at those two guys. They're two madmen throwing stones at each other." If a madman throws stones at you and you throw them back, people won't know which one of you is the madman. You know what? Some of you are throwing stones at a madman. But you're bigger than that. You're destined. So don't get sidetracked with the small things. Don't get messed up with the insignificant and the inconsequential. Don't get anxious and uptight and with people who are trying to distract you. If they don't want to go where you're going, leave them behind. See, not everybody's going where you're going. You have to realize you're headed for the throne, but not everybody has that same destiny. That's why there are some things others may do that you may not. Other people may cheat, lie, and steal, but God has called you to live a better life. God has called you to live a masterpiece life. God has called you to live with integrity because you're headed for the throne. Other people may go to church on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday, but God has called you to a better life, a righteous life. If you want to reign with him in heaven, you have to live a righteous life on earth. The fact is, all of us will be tempted to compromise in this life. All of us, even those who are strong in the faith, will be tempted at times to compromise and sin. And in those times of temptation, we are being tested and we are being prepared. Even when it seems like no one else is watching, God is always watching. He's examining our hearts and our motives to see if we will pass the test. He's using trials to prune us and prepare us for our future. And if we overcome in this life, we will accomplish our destiny. That's why James 1, 3 to 4 and 12 tells us, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. There is a reward for those who endure the test. There is a blessing for those who act with integrity. When you pass the test of preparation, God will develop you and you will fulfill your destiny. That's the lesson we can learn from the testimony of Mr. Selim Adedevo, the CEO of MTN Ghana. A few years ago, Selim Adedevo was faced with a choice that could make or break his career. Working for a large multinational company in Haiti, Selim was offered a $150,000 bonus. You would think that would be a cause for celebration. But the offer came at a price. In order to maintain his job and claim the $150,000 bonus, Selim Adedevo would have to compromise his integrity. He would have to forfeit his values and live with the weight of his own personal failure. Outwardly, it seemed there would be no consequences. He would maintain a good public image. Outwardly, he would be well-liked, respected, and deemed successful. Outwardly, he would keep the peace with his boss, his co-workers, and his company. But Selim believes that success without value is no success at all. So he refused the $150,000 bonus. He quit his job and walked away from pleasing people so that he could live at peace with himself. Listen to him in his own words. Integrity is the value that made me quit my job. I walked away from a $150,000 bonus because what I had to do did not align to my values. I quit my job in Haiti because I couldn't take that money from anyone. It did not align to my value, no alternative. There was a cost to it. Three times in my life, I walked away from becoming a millionaire because of my values. I stayed broke. But today, I'm the happiest person in the world because I have no weight. See, he has no weight of guilt. He maintained his integrity. And today, God is blessing him. Not only is he happy, he's successful. Last year, Selim Adedevo was named CEO of the Year within the MTN Group. He passed the test of integrity, and now he's reaping the rewards. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Image is what people see about you on the outside, but character is the person you really are inside. And when you pass through the preparation period, maintain your integrity. No matter the trial, pass the test. Let God make you new in Christ as you live out your righteous life every day. No matter what happens or who opposes you or how hard it gets, stay faithful to Jesus. And that brings us to our third requirement to fulfill your masterpiece destiny. A masterpiece destiny requires masterpiece determination. In other words, to reach your destiny, you have to keep going. If you give up, you won't fulfill God's plan for your life. See, our scripture text concludes with these words, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The fact is, God has planned for you to do good things. He's destined you, all of us, to accomplish and achieve good things. Long ago, even before you were born, he set in motion the events of your life so that you would lead a destined life. And if you'll stay with it, you'll achieve it. If you'll submit to God and follow him in obedience, he will bring it to pass. So here's what you need to hold on to today. Nothing you're passing through right now has changed God's plan. Nothing you're facing right now has changed your destiny. No setback, no delay, no obscurity, no opposition can change God's plan for your life. People's opinions and people's opposition don't change your destiny. And God has provided everything you need for your destiny, but you have a part to play. You have to stay with it. God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. See, your destiny comes from God, but the determination comes from you. That's the truth Jesus gives us in his words from Revelation 3:21. Jesus says, "Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne." And think about exactly what Jesus is saying here. The throne goes to those who are already victorious. You don't go to the throne to become victorious. You get the throne when you are victorious. When you overcome in this life, you gain the throne. When you persist in God's will, you will achieve God's plan. See, God has a plan for you, a destiny, a masterpiece destiny. But that destiny won't happen automatically. Jesus wants you to rule and reign with him, but the destiny awaits those who have overcome. The ones who are victorious in this life are the ones who sit on the throne. So here's the truth you need to stick on your keychain and carry along with you today. If you'll do the natural, God will do the supernatural. That's the lesson we learn from the time that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The Bible tells us that Jesus went to the grave to resurrect Lazarus. He had the power and the authority to raise him from the dead. And even though Lazarus had been buried and been in the grave for 3 days, Jesus knew his Father in heaven would hear him and bring Lazarus from death to life. But when Jesus got to the tomb, he told the people to roll away the stone. He could have spoken to the stone and commanded it to move on its own. After all, if Jesus could bring Lazarus back to life, he could command the stone to roll away on its own and it would be done. But Jesus didn't move the stone with supernatural power because the people had the ability to do it themselves. He told the people to move it. And what that means for us today is this: if you'll do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. And what you can do right now is persist. You may not be able to raise the dead, but you can move the stone. You may not be able to solve your problems, but you can endure. And if you'll persist, he will give you the strength you need. If you endure, he will give you the throne. That's why the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Sadly, too many Christians are weighed down with the cares of this world to focus on fulfilling our destiny. We seem to have lost the sense of urgency in pursuing God and his will, and the task of following Christ seems impossible. But the fact is, the problem is not the difficulty of our trials. The problem is our lack of focus on our destiny. If you will pursue God's will more than any other thing, you will have the determination and the discipline to do the impossible. That's the lesson we learn from a boy and his mother and their battle with an alligator. 12-year-old Michael Morgret was swimming in the Crystal River near his home in Florida, USA, when suddenly an 11-foot alligator attacked him. When his mother heard Michael's screams, she ran to the scene. Michael was struggling to get to the shore, but the alligator was right behind him. Without thinking of the danger to herself, Michael's mother reached in and pulled her son free. The alligator bit down on Michael's leg, but his mother wouldn't let go. She pulled with all her might and miraculously freed her son. How could a mother wrestle with an alligator and open its mouth and rescue her son? Where did she get the strength? Well, here's the secret. In times of emergency, many people somehow receive courage and ability to do what is seemingly impossible. But in the normal course of life, if something seems too difficult, we give up. We don't try. Could it be that your problem isn't the impossible task before you as much as the lack of urgency within you? If you focus on your destiny and see the urgency in your life choices, you will have the supernatural ability to overcome the impossible. That's why the Bible admonishes us in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Your biggest barrier is not your circumstances. Your biggest barrier is your lack of persistence. That's the truth we can learn from the powerful true story of Susan Kegula. In July 2009, Susan was home with her husband Constantine when she was awakened at around 2:30 a.m. by a sharp blow to her neck. Blood was oozing from the wound, and in a daze and in the dark, Susan didn't know what had happened. But then she looked and saw Constantine lying on the floor in a pool of blood. Susan ran outside to call for help, and then she passed out. She woke in the hospital and was told that Constantine had died. Susan's whole world was turned upside down. She was wounded and heartbroken over her loss, but things quickly got worse. A few days later, police came and arrested Susan, accusing her of murdering Constantine. "I was naive in that moment," says Susan. "I thought, obviously, all of this is a mistake. I'm innocent, and of course, people will see that." I had no idea how the legal system worked. So she didn't hire a lawyer. She couldn't afford one. And anyway, she was confident she would be found innocent. But 2 years later, Susan Kegula was found guilty of the murder of Constantine Serembo. The murder conviction came with a mandatory death sentence. Susan would be hung for the crime. Susan Kegula was confined to the Luzira prison in Uganda. Every day she would wake up thinking, "Is this the day I will be hanged?" And you would not think that someone in prison, someone on death row, waiting every day for hanging, would have any hope for life. You wouldn't expect such a person to care about the future or to make any plans. You wouldn't expect Susan to have looked beyond her circumstances and dream of her destiny. Yet amazingly, Susan didn't allow her situation to change her perspective. She was a prisoner physically, but she refused to be confined internally. She kept her focus on her goals. She used difficulty to develop herself, and she refused to give up. So against all odds, Susan Kegula enrolled in correspondence school to study law from the University of London. Eventually, even though she was a prisoner sentenced to die, Susan received her law degree from the University of London. But she didn't stop there. Susan began providing free legal counsel to fellow prisoners. She went to court against the government of Uganda to petition for the end of the death penalty in her nation. And her work for prison reform resulted in 180 death row prisoners having their sentences reduced. Many have been freed from prison, including Susan herself. No one expected anything but hanging for Susan, but she didn't allow her circumstances to limit her faith. She didn't just sit and survive. She didn't just accept her prison. She put herself in a position where God could exceed expectations, where she could fulfill her destiny. She persisted and never gave up. I don't know what difficulties you may be facing today, but I know this. There is no prison that can keep you down when you have faith in God. There is no problem that can defeat you when you have faith in God. Don't let your perspective limit you. Change your view and change your life. See yourself as God sees you, a masterpiece with a masterpiece destiny. Let God prepare you. Submit to the disciplines that God puts you through and learn obedience through the trials and testings of life. and focus on your goal. Run your race to win. Run with determination. Pursue your destiny, no matter your present circumstances. Focus on the goal, and God will give you the strength to fulfill your masterpiece destiny. For you are God's masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things He planned for you long ago. The hope
of nations. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're heroes in-